I despise your killings and rapings. You're despicable.
Are you my judge?
It's just, you should be punished. I'm going to chop off your arm. So you ready?
Yeah. Check these hi-hats, ding things, moving through the rubbish. Hardy robust, rec room style for you brothers. Time's ticking, erupt, misconduct, entering one...
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 37, unofficially sponsored by Pearson's Salted Nut Roll, made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson's Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Welcome, this is episode number 37.
We're entering the 37th chamber.
Yeah, the 37th chamber of death.
This is where you reflect.
This is actually, we got Remo Williams.
What up?
Mike the Martyr.
Peace.
Martyr? Martyr?
Mike the Martyr.
Merrier? Mike the Merrier. Mike the Merrier.
It's Martier.
Gotta get it correct. It's the Lake Street Star, Mike the Martyr.
Yes. The true and living.
I got to recap quick. The last episode I had Ryan Mose on.
Mose, that's the man.
He knows about the Mar.
Yep. Mose is a good dude.
Yeah, we were talking about Reflection Eternal, the Talib Kweli and High Tech album.
Okay.
That I had never heard until he presented it to me.
I hear his interview broke records.
It did. It actually received the award for the longest podcast episode in the history of my show.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Which stands at?
Just a hair under 2 hours.
Oh,
and the trophy he got is taller than him.
No shit.
That's a lie. I made that up.
Okay,
but the length of the episode is true. That's true.
Interesting.
It'll be talked about for years to follow.
So it's an album you were unaware of,
right?
Previously,
yeah. And to be honest, Talib Kweli, I'm not a huge fan of his.
Me neither.
Okay,
I'll be first to say me neither.
Yeah. All right, but
I got to meet him a few times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you tell him that?
Did you tell him?
Well, I don't like
next
you.
Time you see him.
That's the vibe that I came out with after meeting him.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh,
so it's
all
not
right.
Based
so,
off of the music. It's based off of the man.
So yes. You have inside information to further our understanding that we don't like
him.
Yeah,
he's a douchebag.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like you shake hands and you come in, you're like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And then he was weird to you. I don't know. It was awkward. I don't know.
Yeah.
But today we're here, we're going to talk about Wu-Tang's album, Wu-Tang Forever.
Forever.
The double disc.
Forever. The double.
Yeah. Now, this is the second album from Wu-Tang, obviously, as a clan, as the Wu-Tang clan.
Yeah.
A big follow-up.
Yep.
It's like The Godfather 2.
Right. Yeah. Except, what's his name is dead. Everyone was there.
Yeah. No one was dead yet in Wu-Tang.
From Godfather.
Oh,
Brando.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
that was part.
I'm
of
just
story.
Saying, as far as relatable to rap,
right.
Like they didn't. That's right. How many years in between 36 Chambers and Forever?
I think it was like four.
Four. Yeah.
Four.
36 Chambers came out in '93.
Yep. So
and they set the game on fire in between the two albums.
They did. Yeah. With all the solo shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fire, fire.
You could talk for 2 hours just about those deals that they got.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that they pushed the envelope on the business side, too, was unheralded.
You want to talk about Wu-Wear?
Hey,
you trying
man.
To talk about Wu-Wear?
Talk about Wu-Tang
Wu-Wear.
Deals.
Wu-Wear.
Yeah.
They made $11 million off Wu-Wear.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Is that a number you're just throwing out, or is that for real?
Real.
No, this guy is an encyclopedia.
That's a
real,
nice. That's a real number.
Obscure rap facts,
right?
And
okay.
Information for sure.
Because I gave them probably about $50.
Yeah.
Oh, wear t-shirts
for
know?
Sure.
I had
jeans
the jeans.
Last forever.
I never had the jeans.
The jeans had a stitched Wu-Tang sign on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We like that.
Remember seeing them and wanting them. Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. You know, between '94 and '97. Some guy named Tupac released this album with two discs, and then it just changed the fucking industry.
All eyes on
everyone's like, I got to put out a double disc album.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone. And '97 was it. It was like, Biggie's Life After Death.
Yep, double
two disc. Bone Thugs, Art of War.
Two disc.
Even the Tupac, Are You Still Down?
Yeah, two disc. But that was a postmortem, right?
Right, yeah.
So,
and surprisingly, all of those albums went 4 times platinum or more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's crazy. People were like, 2 discs? Give me 3. I don't give a shit. I'm going to buy it. You know?
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and to be honest with you, in my opinion, I always felt 2 discs was too much.
Yeah.
Too much music. I think this album, you know, it's a great album. It's a classic, just like All Eyes on Me. I think both of those albums, if you were to make them one album, one disc, would be amazing.
That's true.
For sure. They might actually be the 2 best double discs ever.
Right.
All Eyes on Me.
Yeah, All Eyes on Me and Wu-Tang Forever.
Yeah,
it's hard to think of another one.
What else was there? Well, Life After Death is pretty good.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And even Bone Thugs, Art of War, I think that's a good example of an album that easily could have been one disc.
Yeah.
And really, really good.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, they were trying to burn the stick at both ends at that point. Right. You know, like, I got the feeling that, especially in hindsight, that Art of War was like them trying to cash in before they kind of burnt out.
Right. You can only take so much of the, get ready for the bone and the mouth. Yeah. Yeah, that could be a little too much, but
I only remember one song on that.
Used to know me and my homies when I was that age used to know all the words to that. Like people bring it up at family reunions, like do the bone song.
What was it like? With my eyes, look in my eyes.
Yeah,
look into my eyes.
Yeah.
That song was tight.
Give
back
us
then.
A sample. What was the song?
You remember that song?
No, that was a little past. That was a later single off one of the later albums. But the first couple of joints, man. I used to know all of that shit.
Yeah, off the first two albums.
No, Look Into My Eyes is one of the joints from the Art of War.
Look Into My Eyes. Yeah, that joint.
That's from the Art of War that he did.
So, 2 discs for Wu-Tang, though. Out of, like, you know, Biggie's one person rapping.
Yeah.
Tupac's one person. You know what I mean? But 9 members, that's a lot of content. You could easily fill up 2 discs. So, I could definitely see their... And they were proud to say it. I think a few times on the album, actually in one of the hooks on one of the songs, they're talking... Double LP from Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Right? Something like that?
Yep.
So they knew what they were
it's
doing.
It's yours. It's yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Double LP from Wu-Tang Clan.
Right.
That shit's fresh.
Yeah. And the majority of the album produced by RZA. Actually, this go-around, he gave up some of the production to True Master. Is that his name? Fourth Disciple. Even Inspected Deck did a
beat on that?
Yeah.
That's dope.
You know, I get the impression, especially when you look at those last couple of albums they put out, like Iron Flag, that
The W.
What's the other one with the W? Yeah. Like, there's like a couple of good songs on there. It isn't really promoted the right way. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like we were lucky that they were, you know, I feel like they were a group that probably had a lot of friction in between them as far as business and everything else.
Yeah.
So the couple of really solid, absolute classic albums that they banged out as a collective... We're lucky to have, you know,
because
if they would have, you know, been able to put their foot down on any of those, they could have had another great run, you know, a couple more years.
Man, back to the production, that's pretty cool that Inspector Deck did a beat on there. I didn't know that until just now when you told me.
Yeah, I'm curious. I've never heard he's got a solo album, right? Yeah,
he's got a couple of them.
I've heard some beats he's produced lately, but not back then. I didn't even know he made
beats. There's a couple of joints on his first solo record that are tight.
Yeah.
Really tight.
Okay, I'm gonna have to get into that.
But he's like a lot of these dudes. I always felt like they fit together because a few of them are like one verse kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Inspector Deck doesn't have the kind of voice that I personally felt like I could take an entire album.
Yeah,
from.
I agree.
But if he picks his spots, man, he can say a lot in 16 bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's what was I gonna say there? I think it was Inspector Deck was one of the source quotables too.
Yeah.
Or for from one the of Triumph. The verses.
Oh yeah. The Triumph is like
the Triumph. Yeah. Right.
That his verse, the way he starts that off, is like the moment on the whole album, which is kind of crazy. Right. To think
everyone
that it's Deck.
Remembers the Bomb Atomic.
Yeah.
There's
kind of crazy.
Each one of the members has a distinct voice. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so alone their voice could carry in a solo album, but whether they can actually carry it themselves is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Method Man. The first time you hear Method Man, you're like, he's
back then too.
Yeah.
He was hitting them hard back then. I was actually when I was thinking about this album yesterday, I was trying to pick out the best moments, like you know, the best dude at his best that really stands out, and it's hard, man.
Right.
It's hard. Duck Season, that's RZA's, one of my favorite verses he ever spit in his whole life. Mm. Oh, to punch a hole in his palm with these pointy-ass rings. You know?
That was a good line back
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, oh, man. And the joint me and you were listening to, the Method Man verse on the Cream sequel. Scary Hours.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember sticking fiends at the 160 when we was stumped. Man, like, the whole... Dudes put out whole albums that don't have verses like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And like that back then, their voices and that, what they wrote about was so raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now when you listen to it, it's like a soda without the carbonation or whatever. It's like a flat soda now compared to listening to how raw
especially
they were back
Ghostface.
Then.
Ghostface,
well,
I think, is the one.
Not some, especially Method Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. But like,
Ghost can still drop a raw joint.
I think Ghostface is actually the one out of all of them that's better at rhyming now than he was.
Oh, yeah, he's matured. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Every one of the other dudes has fell off, or at least come down a few notches.
Yeah. That's what I was trying
Method
to say.
Method Man, I'd say, Method Man is one that I think has really grown. Like, I think his albums, his new solo albums, really are overlooked, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not the same dude for me anymore.
Oh, yeah. Like, well,
Method Man was my favorite rapper, like, of all time. To me, he gets the underachiever award of all time.
Okay.
Like, if you look at the way Takao 1 and 2 were and project, if he stayed on that path and made that dope of music, he would be...
At the time of Hollywood.
At the time of Wu-Tang Forever... Method Man was my favorite rapper.
Yeah, yep. Takao, dude. I used to feel like that shit was constantly playing somewhere in the back of my mind, just on a loop. Like, that shit was life changing for me.
Yeah, I love Takao, too.
That was Takao and Method Man. Takao was the first East Coast rapper I was ever introduced to by my homegirl, Sydney. I still see her once in a while. All I'd listened to up to that point in my young life was West Coast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, South Central Cartel, Spice One, MC8.
Spiggity Spice
One. Yeah, and then my homegirl put me up, you haven't heard Method Man? And I went into Sam Goody in the City Center and bought the single, Bring the Pain.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, we were talking about this earlier, ODB, who is, I'd say he's not my favorite rapper, but he's definitely... my favorite Wu-Tang member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite rappers.
You know, you never get like, you get some fucking crazy shit from him. He says the weirdest shit. Like, he talks about having gonorrhea, you know what I mean?
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard that really broke down ODB for me, Eminem said it in an interview. He said, ODB showed me that a song doesn't need to make sense to be dope.
Right.
And... that's perfect. You know, shimmy, shimmy, yo, shimmy. I mean, like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
He's not trying to sell you anything.
Right, yeah.
He's not trying to push you at all.
That's his name, ODB.
Yeah.
He's an old dirty bastard because there's no father to his style.
Right.
So it could just be whatever.
So the disappointing thing is he's only on 6 songs on this 2-disc album.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is like he just does like an intro or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Dog Shit, which is essentially an ODB song,
is
really good.
For sure. That's one of his best songs to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And Reunited, he's real good on that one as well.
Yeah.
There's actually an original version of Reunited where it's more of just a solo Old Dirty Bastard record. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Look that up.
Yeah.
And I compared that to Capadonna, who isn't even a part of... I mean, he's a Wu affiliate. I guess he's kind of part of Wu-Tang.
He's the closest dude to being the 10th member.
Right. He's on 5 songs on this album.
Yeah.
Which is damn near the same as ODB.
And he was a little bit raw when he first came out, I think.
You totally. Yeah. Totally. The Pillage? You bumped The Pillage before? That album is tight.
Yeah.
I go back now and it kind of sounds like some freestyle stuff, like he's so all over the place, but when it came out, man, that shit was dope.
I'm just saying, I don't really remember any good Capadonna lines from Wu-Tang Forever.
Not necessarily ever.
Like, what joints was he on?
What joints is he on?
Okay, well, he was on Triumph, it says, and Maria.
Yeah.
For Heaven's Sake, I think he did spaz on that one.
Man, we should
Little Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was funny that between that and that Dr. Dre Snoop Dogg song, Little Ghetto Boys, same Donny Hathaway sample.
Yeah.
It was kind of odd. I was like, I didn't know if they were like trying to beef with them or whatnot. But
no,
well, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think when you're up on that level, you know what I'm saying? You deal with so many samples and shit, you hear somebody did it, you're like, so what?
Which one do you think is better?
Oh, I gotta go with the Dre and Snoop one. Yeah. Because I don't know, that was like
classic.
That was that was my shit. I was real West Coast guy too until Wu-Tang came around.
The one on the Chronic has teeth. Yeah. You know, it gives that album teeth for sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's got the angry what are the skits on there? It's like angry ass people at a rally and shit, at a riot.
Yeah,
people,
riots,
people doing interviews on the sidelines of the riot.
Right. Yeah, it was just I remember hearing that and I'm like, why would they, you know, sample the same song, name it very similar, you know? But if you listen to the song, you understand it's like
it's quite a few years in between the two, right?
Oh yeah, 4 or 5 years. Chronic, 92.
Yeah.
So, 5 years.
And plus, I heard that the Chronic got shopped for a couple of years straight before it even got picked up.
So, it could have been
like
recorded
it was done,
for a couple
you know,
years.
Like he probably completed that thing in 90.
Right. Right. But how about you guys? Between disc one and disc two, if you could pick which one's your favorite? We've got the vinyl right here.
Disc two. That's what.
Listeners, I want you to look at the vinyl right now.
Dog shit, the MGM duck season.
I'm not sure if the track list on the vinyl is the same.
So I'd imagine it's probably A through D. His disc
yeah,
one.
It's yours was the end of track one. The disc one.
Side Triumph starts with an intro too. So
Impossible is probably one of my favorite songs on it. I like
and
the
Triumph
City,
is the big single.
In the City Project, Bells of War. MGM is one of my favorite songs on there, where they explain about being at the Tyson fight.
Yeah.
So and this one, you know.
The City Rap Entertainers.
Yeah, I would say my favorite is the second disc, but the first disc is also dope.
Yeah, I'd have to go with the second one too, but it's cash.
When's the last time you guys watched the because the videos for this album Triumph, It's Yours and Reunited? When's the last time you guys watched those videos?
I've seen It's Yours on MTV Jams recently. It's real dope. It's like they're at doing big stadiums. With
yeah, it's a running gun.
And that's cool.
I guess Triumph would be the good example because that was like the
first that was like the first $1 million
how
video.
Many times,
they did.
How many times have you seen that video? At least 100 or 200.
Yeah,
especially back in the day, man.
Yeah, they paid some big money for those effects. But now if you look at those effects, you're like, it's kind of
funny.
It looks cheesy.
Yeah. Compared to now, yeah.
The fire coming out.
But when it first came out, dude.
Yeah, it was dope.
And there's a scene where Method Man's riding, they're riding motorcycles, and Method Man just hops off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's pretty crazy, man, just how technology's progressed like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So here's my outlook on why Wu-Tang, like when you hear Iron Flag, when you hear the W, these are many years apart. You know, most of these artists have established themselves as solo MCs. You know, to get back together as a group, I'd imagine it just wouldn't be the same as it used to be, where you were hungry as a group.
At this point right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel the same way.
And you know, and then there's no guarantees too. They knew that Wu-Tang Forever was going to sell however many it did. Do you got that? How much would it sell?
I don't.
I'll say it's not like
it was at least four times platinum.
It's not like a R&B group where they can get the band back together and sing the old songs because they can rap the old raps, but can they make new music how they used to? No, because they're not on hungry, living in Staten Island anymore. You know. But I still like their music for what it is, like because I'm getting older as well. So as a fan, I like their music when they talk about being a little bit older now too. So,
Yeah, listening to this again brought me back to high school.
Yeah, it brings you back to a kid. This music, me too, and that's what I like about it. I was saying I was 12 when this came out, and I had it when I was 12, and I used to run around my mom's house bugging out listening to this shit.
Did you wild out?
Yeah.
Were you wilding?
With like 5-10 friends, bring them all in the crib, and we just trashed the place listening to this at the top. You know what I'm saying?
Turn that Wu-Tang music off.
Yeah.
You know, I love that the production always stays gritty, you know?
Yeah, me too.
All the way through, I'm glad they haven't, like, I got $1 million now. I'm going to use this high-end equipment and completely change the sound of the production.
Yeah.
Which really is the backbone
of Wu-Tang.
Really
grimy loops.
Yeah.
Sample loops.
Right. The kung fu samples.
Yep.
As we said earlier, going to chop off your arm. Are you ready? Because I hope if someone chops my arm off, they're going to tell me first.
Didn't RZA just buy the whole kung fu studio?
Yeah, I know. They re-released a bunch of those old classics, like as Wu-Tang Presents. You know?
Yo, I'm just going to go buy every kung fu movie ever made and fucking so I can use whatever I want. Because, I went to
Suncoast Video, and I was looking through the VHS, Jackie Chan movies. And, because I had no idea that Jackie Chan had like 100, when he was younger, 100 kung fu movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Changed my life.
Yeah, the beats in this album shaped the way that I make beats now, even still. And it's classic material like that that inspired me to make shit now.
I'm gonna do a little quiz for you guys. This is I'm calling this Woo Aliases.
Awesome.
Woo Alii.
I'm gonna be the best at this.
maybe you shouldn't answer. How about we let Remo answer first, then you answer.
All right.
So let's just see if you know the alias of the artist.
Okay.
So what do you know? RZA's alias is
B O B B Y D I G. It's Bobby.
Digital.
Yeah.
How about, you know, Mike, you know his other name?
Riley Fingers.
Ooh.
Riley Fingers.
I didn't even have that one on.
The Abbott.
Yeah. I didn't know if that was just
Abbott.
Like...
The Abbott.
Yeah, the Abbott, yep. Prince Rakim. How about GZA?
The Genius.
Yeah, I don't know that he has any other...
What's his alias? I'm not sure.
The Genius, as far as I know. I couldn't find any other ones. Old Dirty Bastard.
Osiris.
Big Baby Jesus.
Yep. Dirt McGirt.
Dirt
McGirt.
A-Son Unique.
A-Son Unique.
And that was actually when he first started rapping, that's what he went by.
Yeah. I'm the one man on me. A-Son.
I never been taken out.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, ODB.
We got that.
Definitely.
That's a promotional poster over there from some rare shit.
Yeah. I picked up on Record Store Day, I got the 36 Chambers, or Return to the 36.
That's dope.
Like, collector's deal. He had that second disc.
Yeah, came in a wallet.
A wallet, yeah.
Yeah.
Which does not fit in any pocket that
I... Oh, really?
You know, I mean, that's a big-ass wallet.
ODB, man.
You gotta have big-ass money for
that wallet. Yeah, I do. How about Inspector Deck?
What's his nickname? Rebel INS?
Yeah. That was the only one I could find.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. How about Method Man? This one's easy, though.
Hot Nickels.
Hot Nicks.
Oh, I know.
The Decalion Stallion.
Johnny Dangerous.
Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze,
And Johnny Dangerously. And John McClane. Give me a second. Meth.
His real
Hot
name.
Nixon.
His real name's Clifford.
Yep.
Clifford
Smith.
Yep.
Shaquan God of Law. that's his new name.
How about Raekwon?
Well, Raekwon's got some names.
Chef
Shala.
Diamonds. What
Lex
is
Diamonds.
Lexi
Lou
Diamonds.
Lou Diamonds.
Lou Diamonds. Yeah. Lexi Diamonds.
Shala.
The Chef.
Yep. Man.
I'd say Ghostface has my favorite alias, which is the Wallaby Kingpin.
Yeah.
That's
Tony
that's baller.
Starks.
Yeah, Tony Starks, Iron Man.
He's the Wally champ.
Yeah.
Bulletproof wallets.
Master Killer.
Man, I know some, but I'm just stoned right now. So you got me on the hot
noodles.
Spot. Yeah, noodles.
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 Yeah. Noodles.
Yeah. You got.
Baby Yui.
Golden Arms.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's really all I had for the album. It's a classic.
Capadonna Cappuccino.
Okay.
The
well,
Dynamite.
Okay, Remo.
Yeah.
What bust the illest line from the dog shit joint?
A dog piss on MCs
like
fleas. Got mills but still grills that old good welfare cheese.
Ho,
yeah.
We had to give him that.
I'm gonna wrap this segment up because I don't know if you guys have listened to my podcast in the past, but I used to be a juggalo. Are you guys familiar with what a juggalo is?
Yeah,
I've
heard of it.
Right.
Participated.
ICP, the Insane Clown Posse. That's who we
are. I've heard of them. Yes.
I'm a former juggalo. Let me just say that. But they wrote a book once, which was very interesting. Coming up in Detroit, you know, basically becoming something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they at one time did a track with ODB.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's called Bitches. Bitches. You know, And he's talking about how this song came about, one of the guys from ICP, and he says, you know, they paid to have ODB do this verse, and basically ODB went in the studio, and he was wasted. He was really drunk. And they came back the next day. They basically let him have free reign of the studio. And it was, like, all over the place. It wasn't on beat. Man. And they basically had to pay an engineer to come in and chop up the verse and make it what it became. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I just thought that was so interesting. I'm like, man, if that's ODB, if that's really the way he was, yeah. It's like, man.
Man, I got a story, a quick one for you maybe to reference.
Yep.
LL Cool J paid him to do a feature around the time when he was real hot. And LL Cool J didn't show up to the session, so he ripped LL Cool J's platinum plaque off the wall, shattered it on the ground, and pissed on it. And left. Yeah.
Does he not know that LL Cool J is hard as hell?
Yeah. Oh, Dirty Bastard was insane, man.
Yeah. No,
that's
shit.
What I loved about him. Because
yeah, absolutely.
Everything now is so cookie cutter and shit.
Yep. So. Yep. The game needs him. It's a shame we lost him.
Yeah.
So, moment of silence for ODB.
True indeed.
Okay.
Rest right. in peace.
Well, let's take a break here, guys.
If Dirty want his money, you just give him his money.
We'll be right back, and we'll talk with Remo and Mike, the Mighty Mike. Mighty Mike Martyr.
Martyr.
That sounds classy.
For real. It does sound classy.
Yeah. Martini for Martyr.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
When the candy cravings come over Sheila, she reaches for a Pearson salted nut roll. Shirley has the candy cravings too, but has no salted nut roll and therefore cannot concentrate on her job. Shirley cannot enjoy the light white nougat, chewy caramel, and salty dry roasted peanuts of a delicious Pearson salted nut roll. Calm your cravings with Pearson's Nut Goodie, 7-Up, or Salted Nut Roll. Don't make yourself and others unhappy.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
I forgot to tell you, the listener that's listening, listen to what I'm about to tell you. We're recording live in this the studio, which has no name, yet to be named.
It's the Dab Lab.
And the Dab Lab is the working title. And this is actually right next door to Mint Conditions studio. And if you don't know who Mint Condition is, fuck you.
Yeah. So any excessive music we try and work through is actually coming from the Grammy Award-winning band next door.
Yeah. So
bear with us.
Now, in the last episode, I started this new segment where I kind of tell a story of my life, in my life, which is hopefully entertaining.
All right.
Because people wanted to hear a little more about me.
Okay.
And I don't want to make the show all about me, even though it's called Thank You, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, thank you.
You know, but I'm going to tell you the story.
All right.
And this is back in the day, the transition between junior high to high school, which in St. Francis, Minnesota, is a completely different school.
Times
junior
rough.
High, the high school.
Rough.
Times were rough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to rub two pennies together to make a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, just kidding. But this was about the time that Naughty by Nature's first album came out. Are you guys fans?
Oh, yes.
Naughty by Nature?
Yes.
Well, I knew this guy. His name's Tony Florence, all right? And he was kind of a shady fella, this guy.
Okay.
A little bit shady, but he wanted to borrow the CD. I got the new Naughty by Nature. Nice. He wanted to borrow it, and it was like 2 days left of school.
Oh,
and I'm like,
okay.
Come on, man. You know, there's no way you're going to get me this CD back by the end of school, right? But I reluctantly gave it to him, you know, let him borrow it. And, you know, like the last day of school rolls around, he's like, oh, I forgot it. And I'm like, no shit.
Yeah.
I could have told you that, but he did. And
that sucks.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Give me your address. I'm going to come over to your house. You know, this was in the city of East Bethel, which, like, nothing is close to each other. It's not, like, country, but it's damn near close.
It's pretty country.
So I had to ride my bike down Highway 65 to this trailer park, and no disrespect to trailer parks, all right?
Shout out to trailer parks.
But shout out.
Peace to the gods.
Yep. So I roll up to this kid's trailer, and his sister answers the door, and she's like, I'm like, is Tony home? She's like, he's down at the Fun Tree. And I'm like, what the fuck is the Fun Tree? What are you talking about? You know, she's like, oh, just ride your bike straight down the street. You'll see it. And I ride down the street there, and there's this big ass tree, and it's like a dead tree. There's no leaves in the tree.
Oh man!
And there's like 20 kids swinging from the tree like monkeys. It was just like, what? Where am I right now? what is this, like, some different world? But I found Tony, and he walked me back. I got the CD back, no case, just the CD, you know. So
that's horrible.
Tony Florence, if you're still around, I still hate you. Fuck you, bro.
Yeah, fuck you, bro.
I'm still soaking all this in. This is
Just give it a little time.
Can we Google who Tony Florence? Can I get a visual?
He probably had kids, and they're shady little kids too.
Yeah, shady little CD thieving.
And they all listen to Naughty by Nature. They all have a collection of just Naughty by Nature CD cases. They don't have the
CDs.
He
was down with OPP. He's probably got a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob, for that anecdote. I like that. I feel like we bonded.
Hey, yeah, good. Great.
Hey, you know, and Naughty by Nature just broke up, so.
Did they?
Shout
again?
Out to that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
They were just here.
Yeah.
Like last week.
Yeah, but
they weren't
getting along, though.
Really?
Him and Vinny. Tretch and Vinny, man.
They're just finishing dates for the rest of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see those guys back together. Tretch, I think, is one of the best MCs.
Yeah, I think so, too. His voice.
Tretch, to me, I can't think about Tretch without thinking that he was one of Tupac's best friends.
Right.
That would be sick as hell to sit and talk to that dude, just about that alone.
Right.
Not only, you know, their success, and, you know, he's had his spots in acting and all sorts of stuff.
Yep. I would have loved to see a Five Deadly Venoms album, which was Tupac, Tretch,
The Deadly Venoms.
And three other guys.
Yeah. Mo Preem.
Apache.
Mo Preem. Mo Preem was his
That's
brother.
Tupac's
brother.
Yeah.
Let's not start talking about Pac.
Okay. All right.
Yaki.
You know who we should start talking about is Amber Ace Cleveland.
Hey.
Yeah.
She wrote my whole album.
Ghostwriter.
She's a ghostwriter. Yeah. Yeah.
You still owe her some money.
Ace now, is my own girl, man. She's great people.
The way this works, if you haven't heard, the more you say her name, she'll give you $5 for each time you say her name on the show.
Okay. Right. Oh, damn. We're going to need a whole other show.
So let's say you owe her some money for writing your album.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's be honest, it's a hit. It's a hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, let's address that right now. It's fucking amazing.
Right? I thought you were going to say it's
garbage. Amber Ace Cleveland. Really hooked it up.
She did. She really did. She really came through on this one.
She's my homie, man. She's a jack of all trades. I know she's probably sweating her ass off at the booth, the Brims and Tongues booth right now at the State Fair. Yeah. She's writing a book. She's got all sorts of shit going on.
She's always got. If she was a range, you know, she'd have like 10 burners and
I think she's got like four jobs. She's a stewardess at an airline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure she runs a barbecue spot.
Yep.
Man,
barbershop.
She was telling us.
Yeah, the last time I saw her, she said she was folding boxes. She was one of those people that folds boxes. So
she works at UPS.
No, she's like an accountant. Yeah. She's the homie. She's I look up to her.
Gas station.
Yep.
I'm about eye to eye with her.
An incident happened locally where a certified rap historian and god was in town recently and asked if he could climb her like a tree.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's got an aura
she's
about
the
her.
Fun tree.
Yeah, she's the fun tree.
Yes.
Ace.
Remember
Ace.
That. Oh,
Ace.
Wow.
No, she got her own ice company. You ever seen the Ace? Ace?
Ace Ice?
Man. Yeah, that's her.
Ace Ice.
Same. I'm telling you, man. She's
all right. She's
all over the place. No, I love her. I love her to death. Yeah. I do.
Well, let's stop sucking her dick.
Yeah, please.
Pause,
for now.
Pause.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
But shout out to Brims and Tongues, man. They got some good shit going.
Yeah, they're doing their thing out here, man.
Remo Williams, of course, has an album called On Location.
Yes.
Now, let me build this up, because if I'm not mistaken, you were filming, what was it, Look Who's Talking Now? Or is that already a movie?
No, I'm sorry.
Look Who's Talking Now? Maybe it's Look Who's Talking Now Again,
I
think is what it was.
I was the baby in the movie, yes.
Right. But it wasn't like a sequel, right?
No.
Although John Travolta and Kirstie Alley were in it, it wasn't even a sequel.
No, I don't believe so. No.
And that's how the album came about, On Location.
Yes. After long preparation and, you know, making my way through the local circuit as far as I did a little bit of soap operas when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did have the Look
somewhere.
Who's Talking.
Broadway play?
Yep.
Broadway.
Yeah, did some off-Broadway stuff.
Yeah.
But after long-awaited waiting, with more and more waiting. And, you know, getting some finances together. Gave blood a lot. And, Other things. Yeah. No. I went in to try and give plasma, and I downed a big-ass cup of coffee before I went in, and they said it had an irregular heartbeat. So I couldn't get that line
of, asthma, you can't give no plasma.
Yeah, or something to that effect. I mean, if I would have been able to throw that plasma money in, I might be on MTV, like, tomorrow. But, you know, I can only, integrate what funds I can really scrape together, you know, through tough times, really tough times. You know, and then when the bubble burst, the game changer, man.
Yep.
Game changer.
First the bottom fell out, and then the bubble burst. It was like, Jesus.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You know, the dollar ain't what it used to be. No, it's not.
But for real, your first album, right? Word on the Street,
2006? Yeah, 2006. I did it all with SP Style. Shout out to D-Mill, doing his thing for 40 or 50 years now.
The Clover G's.
Yeah, Clover G's. Yeah, those dudes are doing it real tough.
Can I tell you a little story about D-Mill?
Okay, all right.
I think everybody knows D-Mill.
Yeah.
If you don't know D-Mill, you don't know shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
I live in Woodbury. We had this conversation. I live in Woodbury.
Mm.
Straight out Woodbury. Of Woodbury.
Shout out to Woodbury.
Shout out
to Woodbury. Shouts.
My wife and I and the kids Woodbury. Were going for a little walk, pushing the baby stroller along.
Okay. I'm getting a visual. All right.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's what I do when I walk.
Through Woodbury.
And this other couple are coming, pushing their stroller. And okay. They're all, and this guy's like, hey, Rob. And I'm like, holy shit, D-Mill. Like in the middle of these suburbs, you know. Yeah. It was just a small world.
And his lovely wife, her name escapes me. I've met her several times. She's great. Good
I think
people.
Her name is lovely.
Yeah, D-Mill's a good dude.
Yeah.
D-Mill's good.
He'd be out there in Woodbury chilling.
You know what I'm saying?
If he's not at that local bar shutting it down on a Friday night.
For sure.
The Doghouse, is he still doing that?
Yeah.
So, Word on the Street. D-Mill produced that?
I recorded it entirely with him. I actually did a mixtape before that called The Exclusive that was really some raw, like a lot of, it was rapping over Dre beats and all sorts of stuff.
It was very exclusive.
Yes. And but then... as far as what I consider my debut album, I put together with him the year after that. I was actually over there a few times a week for about a couple of summers straight. And we did The Exclusive, and then my first album that I actually, you know, found samples and kind of molded it myself was the 06 album, Word on the Street.
Okay.
And Big Zach was on there. That's through meeting him, from Big Zach from Cancer, who I know you know, he's actually been on the show before. He was the guy who kind of introduced me to everybody in the scene that I deal with now, as far as Big Jess kind of co-signed me as far as when I first started working with Long Doe, Tony Bones. He introduced me to Freeze, that's on my album now, from Illuminous 3. He's my dude. So he helped me out a lot. He was on the album in 06. It's been all good. Getting the cosign from him early on really helped perpetuate to where I am now, as far as, you know, being able to bang out quality stuff with a lot of good people.
I bet you didn't think he'd go on to write the book on Twin Cities Hip Hop.
Yeah. Well,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's real crazy.
I told him he forgot to mention me. It's going to be a revision.
Have you seen his new book?
Yeah, he gave me a copy of that, too.
Have you seen the back cover? My lyrics are on the back cover. It's just
right. Yeah. And I know I've seen your name many places. Many places.
I guess I'm in that book too.
Bathroom stalls all the time.
Yeah. Stickers. Stickers. Yeah, man.
For putting me on the back of that book, man. That was real inspirational.
That dude's like one of my mentors out here, man. He's one of the nicest guys you could ever run into.
We just did a new song together too.
Yeah, he's on that Vintage Cloth. Shout out everybody that threw down on a Vintage Cloth album.
3 weeks Sober Street. Shout out Big Zach.
Yeah, man.
So what happened in between 06 and the On Location album?
Well, I actually started to do all of my production with Big Jess slowly but surely through, like I said, meeting him through Zach. And I put together a batch of songs from unreleased stuff that I did with D-Mill, and then I did about 7 or 8 new joints. There was some mixtape stuff, some original stuff with Jess,
and always, and over the course of a couple years, was working on stuff that became On Location and working on stuff that became the mixtape that kind of was the stopgap for me, is Project Remo. And I circulated that in several different forms, just burning them for people and just kind of spending my money on studio time. And you know, I've also, steady employment isn't something that I've always been absolutely great at. So the financial part definitely put some stops here and there in trying to put stuff together, quality stuff, and putting it out. But I did release quite a bit of stuff under the name Project Remo, which is actually getting remastered and a few new songs and stuff thrown on it for when I do this online push of On Location. So that was kind of, as far as putting out material, that was the project kind of in between it. But like I said, it was in a lot of different forms and everything. We didn't do a release party or anything for it. Slowly but surely, we just worked on Location, and it, by the time it was done and completely ready to go, it'd been about 3.5-4 years.
I gotta tell you, speaking of Big Zach and On Location, that track you guys got on there, which samples
the Friends,
Joe Cocker,
Joe Cocker. It's the thing from the Wonder Years,
you know? Man. Wonder Years, that's like my all-time favorite show.
Yep. So Jess did his thing on that, man. Yeah. Several times on the album. The song Too Late, a couple other ones. I found the sample and brought it to him. Trust in Me, you know, and then we'd mold it kind of the way, you know, he would just kind of fill it in the way that I wanted it. But that was one of the ones that he sent me just out of nowhere, like, I can hear you on this, and it was really dope, man. I still want to do a video for that thing, man. I think that would be real dope. That's one of the ones that I get a lot of the, you know, people who do take their time out and bring up specific tracks. A lot of people bring that one.
Well, it's a familiar song, you know.
For sure.
Especially for sure. Because of the show, people know it, you know.
Yeah. And Zach murders it on there, too.
Right.
Murders it on there. He's on the album twice, and both really good, solid, diverse looks. I really appreciate it.
Who did the beat for Smash?
That's half a Ninth Wonder. The first half is a Ninth Wonder beat, and the second half I found somewhere along the lines, one of my homies found this. It was like a bonus disc with a bunch of old classic Motown stuff all broken down in different sections without the vocals on it. It was called like Motown Vault or something. And I mean, all of these hits, Smokey Robinson stuff, all sorts of stuff on there. And the one that stuck with me was that Diana Ross one, broke down into the different sections. And people who weren't able to, I know a lot of people have sampled that, but they just loop up you know, the actual single, and but the fact that we found it all broke down like that, looking back on it, almost feels like we cleared the sample, you know. And I'm real proud of that, man. It was super dope.
So I could ask you to plug a website, but really people just need to listen to this song, Smash.
You
mentioned the Facebook page.
It's pretty self-explanatory, you know. That's my way of dumbing it down, I guess.
Right. But that's cool. Very a very tasteful way to do it.
Yeah, you know.
Clever way to do it.
You know, I try, man. I try.
Mike, your turn. Go.
All right.
Tell us. Give me. Fill us in.
A little rundown.
Give us a rundown.
Well, I guess like the highlight of my career so thus far, my illustrious career, is I've produced a bunch of songs for AG from DITC from New York, and Sadat X from Brooklyn, and I got a placement on Sadat's album. I produced the whole album for AG. I got with Slug on it, and then from that, like, I've done a couple joints with Slug and shit, and I put out some mixtapes, and I'm gearing up to try to put out a nice first project to get, you know, a little more nationwide coverage on it. But yeah, I produce a lot of shit for a lot of people around here.
Nice. Where can people check out beats or even just your music that you've
just
done?
Just online, on YouTube. The website that releases my stuff is Two Dope Boys, which is one of the biggest hip hop websites there is, and they release all my like projects. And I put out 3 instrumental CDs with free beats, the Lake Street Bar. So if you just search Mike the Martyr Lake Street Bar, you get free beats, man.
Nice.
Yes.
Free beats for days?
Yeah, man. There's 12 a piece, so that's, you know, 36 free beats.
He's my dude, man.
I sell a lot of beats to people.
He's one of the best out here doing it, rapping and making beats. And especially, can't nobody do both better. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, just working hard.
He's my dude, man.
Trying to work hard, put in the work, you know. That's what I'm good at doing.
Hey, it's proven that it pays right there.
Yeah.
Totally.
DITC, Digging in the Crates.
Digging in the Crates crew. Right. Shout out to them. That's shout like out AG.
That's like a dream come true because I grew up listening to Big L and Fat Joe. And I wasn't the biggest fan of AG when I was a kid. I wasn't up on it. But through meeting him, I've learned a lot about music and about everything. You know, he's a good friend of mine as well. We spent months together in a basement. And he comes up here a lot, so...
Yeah, he shows a lot of love, man.
Remo just did a new record with AG.
Yeah, he's going to be on I'm working on some follow-up EPs to kind of fill the time while I work on... We're going to try and do an EP together. Martyr's going to do all the beats for me. We're going to do, like, a concept EP.
Mm-hmm. Might not want to let the cat out the bag on the concept.
But I'm going to try and fill the gap with a few little EPs, some mixtape stuff before and then I'm going to start working on a new full-length.
Nice.
Yeah. Real fortunate, man. And I got AG on a joint. It's going to be dope. It's going to be real dope.
So that's no more details.
Yeah. Just on the little project, me and Remo, we have this idea. We don't want it to get took.
Right.
People, because, you know, people are really good at listening to interviews like this and then stealing some ideas and doing it real fast. Got to watch out for the idea stealers.
I
don't want to talk about the Thank You Rob mixtape that we're putting together.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg. That Tupac verse.
Yeah. You know, just text me the details, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep that on the low.
I got a mean diss record I want to put on there. I'm going to diss a bunch of people. So.
Yeah.
Everybody else has been on the show to diss them.
We'll just diss everybody and put it on a tape and then just don't tell nobody when it drops. You know, like, oh, it's coming.
I like all those guys who've been on the show. Slim Chance, that's my boy.
Now, Remo, I met you at the Nomad for that honorable mention show. And
yes.
I was there with my boy Chuck Chase. We were talking.
Yes, I remember Chuck. Yeah, Chuck's a good dude.
Yeah, we were bullshitting about movies.
Yep.
And I think you were a horror movie buff.
No.
No. I'm gonna edit that part out then.
He likes horrors and movies.
Yeah, a horror.
Yeah, I think
movie.
You misunderstood me.
Horror. With their hormones. Hormones.
What kind of movies do you guys watch? What are you guys into?
Man, I just got this new thing. It's a VHS/DVD player. I'm into all the movies right now. You know what I'm into? I've been like Superfly and Dolemite.
The old blaxploitation.
Yep. Been watching a lot of those lately. They're real dope. I like to watch documentaries.
Did you say Dolemite?
Yeah.
Rudy Ray Moore.
Yep, that's a great movie.
There's a scene in that movie. There's a couple of scenes in that movie where you can see like the boom mic coming.
I know. I hated that. I was like, damn, really? Like, that's what you guys are doing?
Yeah.
But it's still a good
movie.
They're
on a budget.
Yeah, it's still a good movie though. Yeah. I just Style Wars, the graffiti DVD. I just watched that.
Okay.
A lot of cool. I love movies right now.
What I'm hearing is sometimes you don't love movies.
No, I love movies. Yeah.
Do you love hoes? Because
Ain't
no love for hoes.
No, I love hoes. I can't lie. That's just some bullshit they want you to believe.
I love hoes. I just don't paint.
Yeah. They just want you to believe that so they could take all the hoes, you know?
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
What's the hot shit going on? Did y'all see the Miley Cyrus chicken ass shaking, twerking?
Yeah, twerk.
Oh, man.
On the Miley?
Oh, man.
I don't know, man.
She got gassed, man. The all of them... The 3-6 Mafia dudes, they gassed her. They need to leave her alone. She put out a song with Justin Bieber called Twerkin'. I wonder what that's like.
I say it's like I think of her the same way I think of Papoose. I'd rather her be there than not be there. So it's kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, I don't know what to think, man. It's
shout out Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And Papoose.
I don't know. She's. I don't find her attractive. I don't find her to be talented.
Yeah, she's awkward looking.
Yeah, kind of awkward, you know. And then, like, I watched her whole performance because I wanted to see what it was about. And she came out and she was, like, doing this number. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it just doesn't look natural. It doesn't seem right. You know
what
I mean?
Because she's on cocaine.
Yeah. Or that
giant teddy bears. Yeah. Man.
I love the teddy bears. I thought that was great. That was my favorite part.
They're trying to appeal to the kids.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Get them all
never
twerking.
Looking at teddy bear.
How do you guys feel about that Robin Thicke song, that Blurred Lines?
I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard it. I've seen the controversy about the music was from a Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah. It's almost like a sample. It's very, very similar.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but you know, one thing I thought was funny is Marvin Gaye's family put out a cease and desist or something, or they said no, but they gave Eric Sermon the rights to the song. You know the song Music that Eric Sermon did back in the day? It was just a Marvin Gaye ripoff song, and they gave him full rights to it, and he bragged about it, but then they shut down the Robin thing. I think he didn't go through the right
channels to
get it cleared. Yeah.
Damn. Well, I think it was probably everywhere. The song is fucking everywhere. And then he probably couldn't stop it, you know?
Yeah.
There was someone was just telling me that there's a song that the Rolling Stones. I'm just going to edit that out because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm going to stop right there.
Edit.
Yeah. Nice. I was trying to think of that.
I'm not up on too much Robin Thicke besides that one. What's the one big joint he had?
With Lil Wayne?
No, with all the chicks. The chicks love
That's
it.
That's the Blurred Lines.
No, Lost Without You.
Okay,
that joint.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The only song I know is that one with Lil Wayne, that Shooter.
Yeah, no, the Lost Shooter. Without You is his big joint. That shit's real tight.
Okay. Yeah, I dig that. I don't like Lil Wayne. I can't stand that guy.
You know,
but I like that Robin
I like him in
Thicke.
Spots, but now he's gotten too weird.
Yeah.
He's got one of the weirdest kind of curves to his appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I couldn't stand any of the Black is Hot Young stuff. It was just cheesy shit. And then he kind of hit this curve where I liked it, and now I don't really anymore.
Right.
You know, he's one of the only dudes where, like, I can say he can definitely rap. He's definitely got bars, but I just don't
Would
like
you
it.
Say the greatest rapper of all time?
Lil Wayne?
Yeah.
No, hell no. Because
some magazines, like Rolling Stone, I think, said that.
Of course not, though.
I'm like, fuck you, Rolling Stone. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
What are you, some fancy music magazine? Write reviews and shit?
Who do you think's the greatest rapper of all time?
Greatest rapper?
The GOAT.
Of all time? I mean, at this point right now, I think Jay-Z, just because of the monumental shit that he does.
Right.
And, Biggie and Tupac died when they were 25 years old, and they didn't get to experience any of that stuff.
Yeah, I kind of think that, you know, on some level, staying alive is part of the best. That's
why you said rapper, not lyricist.
I don't know if meant to be funny on that.
Not
but
lyricist.
No, I've had this conversation before.
You know,
I've
not
had that,
lyricist
you know?
Or anything, but best rapper, I would say Jay-Z, you know?
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah. Jay-Z.
Me too.
You know, there's a lot of criteria to be said in because as far as passion goes, I hate to say it, but you can't beat Tupac.
Not
well,
for
I
sure.
think just Tupac's one of the best storytellers of all time,
right.
And also he's so much more than a rapper.
Right.
You know, you talk about you know, like he was getting letters from dudes in prison. Like, what do you want us to do?
Right.
You know, like he was a leader.
Well, yeah, he was trying to start that thug life revolution,
yeah.
which was more than just
yeah.
you know. Being a thug.
None of these dudes are doing
thug, that. Shit. The thug was actually an acronym for something that I can't recall.
I mean, and he died when he was 25, and Jay-Z is now almost 45. So you just got to think about what could have been and stuff.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
That they got cut short real fast, which, it, you know, realistically cuts down their statistics of being they were the best rappers, you know, back then.
Biggie, the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you talk about could have been, so you got to throw Big L in there too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what he could have been.
Eazy-E.
No.
Well,
one of the greatest lyricists.
Eazy-E.
Luke
good,
Campbell of Two Live Crew.
Oh, man.
Bushwick Bill. Come on.
Bushwick. Shout out Bushwick Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was here, crunk as hell, at the Ghetto Boys show.
Oh, that's
just,
right. That
yeah,
was just
a
month
couple
or two
of,
ago.
Yeah, yeah, not too long ago. That
Big
shit
Wiz.
Was
all three of them.
Bushwick Bill was hanging out with Big Wiz.
Yeah, shout out Big Wiz.
Is there
my
a picture
dude,
to commemorate
man.
That?
There is. They have pictures with Bushwick
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wizzy's on
really
the photo
happened.
Game. He's got, man, you can't, not too many cats can fuck with how many photos Wizzy's gotten with dudes.
Do you, how would you take a picture with Bushwick Bill? Do you, like, go down to his height? Or, like, do you want
oh,
me
I
to
think
hold you?
Got to.
Do you want me to hold
you?
You
know,
got to.
Yeah, just pick him up
the
like
cameraman,
a bag of groceries.
The cameraman's got to aim low.
Right.
You know?
He's got to aim low.
Yeah, well, we should probably wrap this up,
Wizzy.
But so where can we check out Mike the Martyr?
Well, I just dropped my new CD with Big Wiz entitled Vintage Cloth. The only place you can get it is Fifth Element. If you order it online, you get a free song that we did with I Self Divine. And I'll be around Mike the Martyr. I do a lot of shows here and things like that.
Cats know who he is.
Yeah, ask about me, fool.
Website or anything?
Twitter/MikeTheMartyr, MARTYR.
Remo, go.
35, 45, sold.
We're about to get high.
I am currently finishing up this bonus disc, the remastered deluxe version commemorative anthology of Project Remo. It's going to have new joints. I got Martyr and the man Meta. Shout out Meta. Cats don't know who he is.
Metasoda.
You really need to get out more. I got them on a track. I just did a joint with Long Shot. All his like bonus new songs. I dug out some stuff from like 2000 to put on this remastered version of it. And that's just the bonus disc. I'm going to try and get it up to like 79 minutes so it can fit on a CD just barely. But once I'm done with that, within the next couple of weeks, once you go to my Bandcamp page at that point, there will be three albums for free download. The one from 2006, Word on the Street, in its entirety, On Location, the new album, and the newly remastered deluxe anthology version of Project
Bringing
Remo.
Back the double disc album.
Yes. It's going to be sick. And So
bandcamp.com/Remo Williams with a Z.
That's right. And that's about it, man. I'm going to try and stack up a few videos. That's the priority right now. I've been getting my collab on a lot, and I'm also kind of getting that out of my system with these EPs that I'm going to try and work. I'm going to do At Music 1 and 2 probably between now and when I put this next full length out. So I'm almost done with the first one already. Martyr's on there twice, three times.
Thrice.
Big Wiz. You know,
four,
thrice.
Five, six.
Yep. AG's going to be on there. It's coming along real nicely.
Nice.
Real nicely.
Just tell him you got Prince.
Prince? You got Prince? Y'all got Prince?
But not that Prince.
He doesn't like to brag about it. You know, but.
Yeah, Tupac's ghost is on there.
It's hologram.
Hologram.
Yeah, I got a verse from Lil Boosie from jail. But he didn't know it was for me. He wrote it on one of his cellmates found a napkin with some lyrics on it and called me and set him over the phone. Yeah,
I'm really excited about that.
I did
the beat on that.
Yeah, man. It's coming together nicely, man. I'm going to go get my hair cut tomorrow. It's going to be fresh, I'm telling you.
Good.
Shout out to Buddha Ty.
He's the man, dude.
He's a local legend.
Yes, he truly is.
He's on that new CD a few times just gave you. The Vintage Cloth.
If people are unfamiliar with Buddha Ty, he did a track with... I'm thinking the video. There's a video for this, too.
With the Greg Grease joint where they're riding around smoking.
That's a really good song, really good video. That's a cool song. But I'm going to wrap this up. I want people to go to thankyourob.com.
Thank you, Rob.
I want you to go there.
And I'm going to share the hell out of this, so hopefully we get your name
this
out
like
there,
a
man.
This is like a shout-out to ODB. We're going to spread this like gonorrhea. Right?
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, for real.
Rest in peace, ODB, man.
True.
So go to thankyourob.com. You can listen to old episodes of this show, the past episodes. You can also go to iDefine Design, which is my web design, graphic design. I do all sorts of crazy shit.
Oh, that's fresh, man.
I have to
holler at you about
that. I mean, look at this. Look at this sticker.
Yeah,
see this
yeah
sticker?
I like these
see
stickers.
That shit? You see that shit right there?
Very
you see the fly right there? You see that shit?
Eye-catching.
See that shit? I made that shit. Not that side. But I did the other side right
there. He did the good side. The other side.
Yeah. Shout out to Big Joe. He did the other side.
Big Joe.
And that's my boy, Johnny Question Mark.
Shout out to Johnny Question Mark.
Yeah.
JQ.
No, JQ. It's the man.
You gotta buy some beats.
And there's Some People's Kids is another podcast I do with my buddy Chuck, but we haven't done any episodes in a while.
Chuck is slacking.
Hey, what's up with Chuck, man?
Chuck, he got married.
It was all good a couple years ago, yeah. Chuck.
What happened, man? You fell off.
Damn, Chuck.
But, we'll get our schedules back together. We're gonna record some shit because it's a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, and then
it's like kid and play,
I'll spread the word,
together,
man.
House party.
You see me mixing with anybody, you want me to holler at them or, forward any information or anything. These are real tight, man. I've seen you around here repping. The shit's dope.
I represent.
Yes.
Fucking
you know what I'm saying?
My man is Kevin Love's cousin.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
K-Love?
Little Kevin Love right
here.
Yeah,
man.
K-Love. Nice.
Yep.
Nice. L-I-L K-Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping he, the Go Wolves, shout out to the coach, shout out everybody. You know what I'm saying? The ball
forward.
Boys, Crunch is my man. Right. We go way back since he was a pup.
Stephon Marbury.
Yep. Christian Bring back Laettner. Stephon Marbury. I'm Christian telling Laettner. Y'all, man.
Fuck Wally Zerbiak, though.
T. Hud.
Yeah.
You guys are familiar with
Nutty
Troy
Boy,
Hudson?
Nutty Boy. Nutty Boy Entertainment. Shout out, yeah. Nutty Boys.
No, White wet. 550.
For the record, T. Hud was wet.
No, he couldn't even ride with that.
Yeah, shout out to Rock City on the Beast, though. But T. Hud was whack, though.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, any last words, guys? One word. Say something. One word.
Pussy.
Illustrious.
Chewbacca balls.
All you bitches, put your snaps together. And all you niggas, put your sticks together. Bitch. Trees. I went coconuts, dip my dunk in between your donuts. Don't want it if it ain't no slut, bitch. Fall the ship, touch ground, like fly on soup. Don't invite me, I tear the fuck down. White boys cut my toupee. Seventh day rester on speedway. I slope MC Slay. It ain't nothing to bust ass. Pull at him, get him fast. Bitch, I don't break out, pass to the next rash. The dog piss on MCs like trees. Got meals, but still grill that old good welfare cheese. Your bra too tight. It's alright. You still gonna get fucked tonight. Ho.
Stankin' assholes.
You're the type of bitch don't appreciate shit. Never had shit, so you won't be shit. That pussy there couldn't satisfy a hair on my body. Keep me like a lottie and slide me down. Doodoo Brown. Toss salad. Oh, you in some shit now. Calling me a dog, well leave a dog alone. Cause nothing can stop me from burying my bones in the backyard of someone else's house. Old dirt dog, but I'm not dogged out. Here comes Rover, slipping at your ass. But pardon me, bitch, as I shit on your grass. That means, ho, you've been shitted on. I'm not the first dog that shitted on your lawn. Ho, yeah.
Some nasty backup dancers for En Vogue. Little nasty R&B niggas, yo. Yo, he looked like he was breakdancing in a Lord video, spinning on his lips.
Yo. What's up with bookworm?
Nigga, what's up with your speaking spell shoes? Fisher Price, my first Timberlands. Yo. Nigga, yo, this shit is old, nigga. You gotta get some chuckers, fucker. Yo. Yo, nigga, I got on a Lamont Sanford dress shirt. What do you want, you big dummy?
That's me, nigga.
And that's for you, you DJ Cat Show shirt wearing ass nigga. Crazy. Your shirt look like a dish rag. Nigga, your shirt look like a curtain.